the Honourable Member for Kitchener Centre.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The Oriental proverb says that the beginning of wisdom is to call all things by their right names. It's in the hope of reaching such wisdom that I propose a study of Canada's 400-year-old definition of human being. Perhaps that ancient definition made sense when leeches and bloodletting were standard medical practices, but does it make medical sense in the 21st century? Our knowledge has come a long way in 400 years. We now know when a child's organs, from heart to liver to fingers, are fully formed. We can detect when a child's brain functions. Parents watch in real time as their child reacts to stimuli and sucks his or her thumb. None of this was possible 400 years ago when the law struggled to describe who was human. Why is any law defining a human being so important? Why devote time and attention to this question? Why does it matter that such laws are crafted with great care and with utmost honesty? It's sad to even ask this question. It's sad that it's not obvious why our law defining a human being must absolutely be an honest law based on cogent evidence and sound principle. The reason it's so important is that powerful people can strip vulnerable people of all rights by decreeing that they are not human beings. The only way to protect the inalienable rights of all is to protect the inalienable rights of each. As the wise and courageous Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said, injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. If basic rights can be denied to even one vulnerable person, they can be denied to anyone. Here's the way the UN Declaration of Human Rights puts it. Quote, recognition of the inherent dignity and of the equal and inalienable rights of all members of the human family is the foundation of freedom, justice, and peace in the world. That's why we should never accept any law that decrees some human beings are not human beings. No policy justifies it. No ideology justifies it. Here's what our 400-year-old definition of a human being says. A child becomes a human being when it has completely proceeded in a living state from the body of its mother. How many Canadians believe that? Believe that birth is a moment of magical transformation that changes a child from a non-human to a human being? Very few, Mr. Speaker. Most Canadians know that our existing definition dishonestly misrepresents the reality of who is a human being. In the 1850s, 9 highly educated, civilized judges of the U.S. Supreme Court decided that African Americans were not persons under U.S. law. If you and I had been in Congress then, wouldn't you have put up your hand and said, that's wrong? In the early 20th century, 9 highly educated, civilized judges of the Supreme Court of Canada ruled that women were not persons under all Canadian laws. If you and I had been in Parliament then, wouldn't you have put up your hand and said, that's wrong? Now, in the 21st century, we discover that we have a 400-year-old law that decrees some children are not human beings. Why not put up your hand and say, that's wrong? We should never accept any law that decrees some human beings are not human beings. If we accept a law that decrees some human beings are not human, the question that must be asked is, who's next? This question was recently answered for us. Professors Alberto Giubilini and Augusta Minerva told us who they think should be next in an article published in the respected Journal of Medical Ethics Online. These are serious academics affiliated with respected universities. If you accept their premise that it is acceptable to decree that some human beings are not human persons, Their logic follows inevitably. They point out there is no difference between a child before birth and a newborn. Since we have already decreed that a child before birth is not a human person and a newborn is no different, then they say we can and should decree that a newborn infant is also not a person.
Shame.
Here are their very own words. They say, quotes, "The same reasons which justify abortion should also justify the killing of the potential person when it is at the stage of a newborn," end quote. Now, this might sound like a spoof, but it's not. It's a serious conclusion from serious academics, and it is completely logical if it's acceptable to decree without regard to biological reality or principles of human rights that some human beings are not human beings. L'article de Jubilee.
The Giubilini Minerva article shows why it's so important that Parliament reject any law that says some human beings are not human beings.
The Minerva article shows why it's so important that Parliament reject any law that says some human beings are not human beings. Mr. Speaker, this is not merely an academic question. In Canada, every year, the deaths of 40 to 50 infants who are born alive and later die are classified as termination of pregnancy. Émile Zola,
that great man of letters, was once accused of treason for defending the fundamental human rights of a French army officer. His words apply to my concern. To my concern about subsection 223.1, I paraphrase them here. I denounce to the conscience of honest people this pressure brought to bear upon the justice of our country.
To the conscience of honest people, this pressure brought to bear upon the justice of our country. Motion 312 simply calls for a study of the evidence about when a child becomes a human being. It does not propose any answer to that question. In fact, it directs the committee to make no decision and no recommendation, but merely to report options. Now, those who believe that the moment of complete birth does somehow transform a child from a non-human into a human being should have enough confidence in their own belief to expose it to an examination of the evidence. What have they to fear from the full flood of light? Why oppose a mere study? Zola's words apply again, and I paraphrase them. The reason they oppose a mere study is, quote, "because they dread your good sense. They dare not run the risk of letting us tell all and of letting you judge the whole matter," end quote. Again, using Zola's words, I have had to, quote, "fight step by step against an extraordinarily obstinate desire for darkness. A battle is necessary to obtain every atom of truth," end quote. As Zola said, I say, quote, "it is on your behalf alone that I have fought, that this proof might be put before you in its entirety, so that you might give your opinion on your consciences without remorse," end quote. Lorsque vous voyez,
When you consider a child before birth, do you see a new human life with a beating human heart and 10 human fingers, or do you see the child as an object and an obstacle, or even parasite? Will you at least consider the evidence?
When you consider a child before birth, do you see a new human life with a beating heart and 10 human fingers? Or do you see the child as an object and an obstacle, even a parasite? Will you at least consider the evidence? And if the evidence tells you that a child is a human being before the moment of complete birth, will you close your eyes to the truth simply to justify abortion? Do you need to pretend a child is not human until the moment of complete birth in order to justify abortion? You do not. Even if a child is found to be a human being, it is arguable that the mother's rights will outweigh her child's rights.
But when the rights of two people conflict, it is never, never acceptable to deny that one of them is a human being.
It is never, never acceptable to deny that one of them is a human being deserving recognition as a human being. Madam Justice Bertha Wilson, in her 1988 Morgenthaler case, throwing out Canada's abortion law, said the following, quote, "The precise point in the development of the fetus at which the state's interest in its protection becomes compelling, I leave to the informed judgment of the legislature, which is in a position to receive guidance on the subject from all the relevant disciplines. It seems to me, however, that it might fall somewhere in the second trimester." End quote. Those are her words. Clearly, this eminent jurist with impeccable feminist credentials believed that it was wrong to refuse all recognition whatsoever to children before birth. Clearly, she felt it is Parliament's duty to remedy that, a view shared by other courts subsequently. In fact, Madam Speaker, almost 80% of Canadians think our law already recognizes the interests and rights of children after the second trimester. They are not aware that our 400-year-old definition of human being actually strips away such rights. When informed, over 70% of Canadians say they believe our law should recognize the rights of children at least during the third trimester of their development. Madam Speaker, this consensus is greater than on any other issue today. Canadians across our great country are beginning to know and to care about, from their own experience, the truth that a child is a human being before the moment of complete birth. In other words, Canadians know that subsection 223.1 is dishonest. Do you want a Canada where any person or group can arrange a dishonest law to decree that some human beings are not human beings, as subsection 223.1 does? That's not the Canada Canadians want. And if you search your heart, that's not the Canada you want either. If you care about the truth, you will courageously follow the facts wherever they lead. Canadians expect parliamentarians to embody that courage, that strength, that principled quest for the truth. Will you be seen as bold for the sake of truth or as fearful? You can trust Canadians to embrace the truth with you. Justice Wilson suggested that Parliament inform itself from the relevant disciplines. Motion 312 asks Parliament to do exactly that. Once the committee delivers its report, Parliament can act on it or take no action. Whatever it chooses, Canadians will at least have the benefit of being informed by 21st century information from all the relevant disciplines, as recommended so many years ago by Justice Bertha Wilson. It's Parliament's duty to do that much at least. A great Canadian once said, "Those who talk the talk of human rights must from time to time be prepared to walk the walk." Heaven forbid that we should fail to do that of which we are capable when the path of duty is clear. Canada is not that kind of nation. End quote. So don't concern yourself with fearful imaginings, but look solely the dishonesty of subsection 223.1. Cast your vote to expose that to the light of scientific evidence. Canadians will thank you for it. Je vous en prie.
I implore you, let us together reconcile Canadians on these noble... The Honourable Member has concluded. Questions and comments? The Honourable Member for Gatineau. Thank you, Madam Speaker. I'll have the opportunity to reply later, but I just will content myself with asking a question. There's nothing better than hearing lawyers quoting extracts from the same judge, from the same decision, and what my colleague forgets is that what Madam Justice Wilson also said in the Morgenthaler decision, which affected Section 223.1 of the Criminal Code, was that it limited the remedy available to a pregnant woman. It violated her right to life, freedom, and security of her person and under Section 7 of the Charter in a way that doesn't comply with the concepts of fundamental justice. Now, I read listened to my colleague's speech, but his motion, 312, is trying to make us believe that it's a serious motion, that he really wants to have an in-depth study, but he already has all the answers, apparently. So I ask him the question, is he waiting for answers to the motion, the questions in the motion, or has he already answered them?
Thank you very much, Madam Speaker, and I thank my colleague for the question. I've enjoyed working with her on the Justice Committee and always enjoy having a respectful dialogue and exchange of views with any Canadian, any parliamentarian, and particularly another lawyer. The only point at which my views have been inserted into the motion, Madam Speaker, is that it is true I have concluded that the point of complete birth is not a rational or a reasonable point at which a child suddenly transforms from non-human into human being. I have some information about what I think will be the evidence that might be heard if and when the committee undertakes this study, but I am quite content to allow the witnesses to come, providing that the evidence is heard. The committee can report back to Parliament, and I'm not asking the committee even to choose what evidence to believe or not to believe, but simply to report the options back to Parliament. And whatever my views are on that, I hope that Canadians in the end will overall be informed. What have we to hide from? Why would we be afraid to let the evidence come out?
The Honourable Member for Bourassa. Thank you, Madam Speaker. My conscience tells me that we have to respect what the social aspect of this and women's consciences. I think we have to respect the fact that we can be pro-choice. We talked a lot about honesty in this speech. There was dishonesty that was alluded to as well. And what I find dishonest in this speech is that, in fact, what this member wants to do is to criminalize abortion once again. So if he wants to be honest, why doesn't he say out loud here that he wants to recriminalize abortion and that his own Prime Minister said he's going to vote against the motion? In the end, does he not want to just reopen a debate that's already happened and that we want social peace and respect of women's rights in this country?
Thank you very much, Madam Speaker, and my thanks to my colleague for his question. I honestly want what the motion asks, and that is for a respectful dialogue and an open-minded study of the evidence. I would like all Canadians to be informed about this. Whatever views one might have about the issue of abortion, it surely must be helpful to know whether or not a child actually is a human being before the moment of complete birth. Knowing that will inform our discussions and make them more fruitful and help us to reconcile Canadians of differing views on these issues.
Resuming debate.